And on with us on the Revel Wireless Hotline is Bernie Kosar. Bernie, draft only days away. Getting fired up, man. What are you thinking?
Well, we finally made it to draft week. You're exactly right. And, you know, I think this year, even more so than previous years, you know, you always hear misinformation. Don't trust anybody. Don't believe anybody. Well, you know, I almost, to a degree, that's still partially true.
Yeah.
But Mr. Gilbert, Dan Gilbert, had a funny line about a year ago. I heard him say to a group of sports media people, he goes, boy, it's amazing sometimes lately how right they actually are. And this is a year like the Darrelle Revis trade is a perfect example of it. You know, in years in decades past, that never would have been so known. And that was almost a foregone conclusion that a trade like that was going to happen. The 13th pick was going to end up with the New York Jets. And I think there's some things that now are starting to clarify itself, you know, in terms of people and teams and needs, that's probably a little clearer than years past.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there's something to be said for that. I think as drafts go on and as the business of football changes, where you need to rely more on younger players, just in terms of structure, in terms of salary cap, when you make a pick, you're picking a guy, especially early on, who is likely to see the field right away for you and at a position of need. So when you look at the Browns, it might not be as easy to say, well, outside linebacker is a real need for this football team in light of what they did with Paul Kruger and Quinton Groves in free agency. But I still say it is the way, or a way, a strong way to go. And when I think of a name like Deion Jordan from Oregon being available, and if that were the name that the commissioner were to read off for the Browns pick, that would not break my heart at all. I think that would fit into exactly what you want to do, because now I'm picturing two stud outside rushers in Kruger and Jordan attacking the quarterback and giving you a semblance of a dominant pass rush.
Well, I concur with you right there. And in taking it maybe even a step further as to the first part, too, of our talk, is the Browns have done a nice job in free agency and in this offseason in terms of still maintaining salary cap maneuverability and space this year and in the future. And I think in today's day and age, draft picks and salary cap maneuverability, I think, are two of the most essential things to maintain. So in terms of our offseason, I think we've definitely maintained that. And making a switch from a 4-3 defense to a 3-4 defense, where the last couple years, even in a 4-3 defense, you've heard nothing but how thin we are at the linebacker position. So to make acquisitions of significance from those positions and make the change from a 4-3 to a 3-4 and kind of give yourself, yeah, there's needs on the football team, but there's not as many glaring needs. And that gives you the flexibility to be able to go with the best available person, somebody who like a Deion Jordan, probably is a fantastic player in the short run and has fantastic upside. So it gives you more options. And then there's some teams with Chud being his first year as a coach, with Joe Banner coming in, with Mr. Haslam's first year of ownership, with Mike Lombardi coming back. You also don't have the inherent pressure of feeling like you're going to get fired, like some general managers, some coaches in the league who feel the pressure of, I must win next year. We have the luxury of, yeah, we want to win next year, but job security is in a safe place for those guys. So they have the ability to maybe take advantage of some teams that are desperate to win in the short run, like the Dolphins, like the Jets head coach. There's some teams that probably need to win next year, or there are going to be some people in the unemployment line, and that may lead to maybe some people wanting to overreach for your pick or for some players, and that could create some opportunities for the Cleveland Browns.
Bernie Kosar joining us on the Revel Wireless Hotline here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. You make such a fantastic point there, because I think it gets overlooked that you have a new football administration in place that is thinking about building a core for this team? And now people don't want to hear, well, wait a minute, are you saying that this is all about starting over and rebuilding? Well, the reality is, I mean, no, you don't want to use those terms because of how much of a negative connotation they have. But in real terms, this the folks running this football team have to think in terms of, this is our program and this is the pieces we need to make this go on the offensive side, on the defensive side. And that's not to say that everything done before their arrival gets washed out. It isn't. It's going to be incorporated in there. But I think they're going to be selective about who gets to stay from the previous team and work in more of the parts that fit how they envision this team building. And as you say, there's a luxury of time on your side. There's still pressure, but it's not the kind of pressure that other teams face that screw this draft up and you're in real trouble, or if you don't get immediate help out of this draft, you're not going to be around. The chance is definitely here for the folks making those decisions in this draft to build something that is sustainable, that isn't just for 2013. And I think a lot of those strategies are going to impact the kinds of picks that are made.
Absolutely. I mean, absolutely agree with that. And to the point where, again, there is definitely pressure and wanting to win here in Cleveland and in every team, whether the teams have job security or not. It's just human nature is an incredible thing. And guys like, again, I want to go back to the Revis trade. Mark Domenech, the general manager for the Tampa Bay Bucks. The odds of him and team not making the playoffs next year or being competitively close to the playoffs isn't very good if they don't do well. So Daryl Revis, somebody, a short-term guy who is a proven difference maker, is essential for someone in that type of position. Where the Jets, I think, are woeful this year. They have a new general manager. He has a little job security. He will be around for more than one draft, so he has the ability to take the ninth, I think, and the 13th pick and take two guys and have them develop over 2 or 3 years. Some coaches and or general managers may not have that luxury. We have that luxury in Cleveland where, yeah, we want them to play good in the short run next year. But sometimes you make decisions in the short run that aren't good for the long run, and I think we have the ability to be on both sides of that equation.
Another thing that's happening simultaneous with this draft is the mini camps, is the fact that the Browns have had players on the field. They had them on the field for 3 days last week. They're going to have them again on the field this week. Rob Chudzinski and this coaching staff to really look at these players, the players they have, the ones that they brought in new, but more importantly, the ones that they're inheriting and are learning more about. And I have to believe, Bernie, to some degree, this is going to factor into thinking. I know the draft board is set. I know the draft strategy is laid out. I know you don't make these decisions on everything you're going to do in the draft only days or hours before the draft itself. But I also know it has to be fluid. And somewhere in the thinking, you know, watching how Brandon Whedon is throwing the football in this new attack offense, working from shotgun, throwing deep often, seeing how the tight ends, especially Jordan Cameron, responds to this new system and scheme, and everybody on board, and how guys are responding. And the same, I guess, would go on the defensive side, although that's where the most new parts have been added in free agency. But I have to believe that is going to swim around the mentality of this decision-making group when they get into this draft and they start looking at potential positions to fill. Well, I don't know. That guy looked pretty good on the field this week and last week, you know.
You're absolutely 100% spot on that. Last week's mini camp was so crucial for the existing guys that have been on this team the last couple years to show the coaching staff, the front office, the scouts what they could do. Because a lot of people say, hey, they don't want change. They don't want to keep continuity. Hey, let's remember, we only won 9 football games over the last 2 years. We've picked, I think, 4th and 6th the last 2 years. That doesn't breed for job security in the NFL for the previous players. So it's imperative. It was imperative, their performance last week and how, you know, from Brandon Whedon and his throwing, how the young receivers picked up on running the skinny bang eights, the posts that I've been talking about, how they're running comebacks, how they're running fades, how they handle press coverage, how they handle the intelligence side of the new offense, because how picks are made in and how trades are made in this possibly getting is trying to get a second round pick in the third, fourth, fifth, sixth round, seventh round, free agents will definitely be a factor of what happened last week with the existing veterans, with the new staff and new scouts watching them will definitely have an effect on things.
Would anything surprise you, and in particular these two thoughts? One is if the Browns were to use that sixth pick to draft a quarterback. Some people in around the NFL media types are attaching Geno Smith to the Browns there, and others talk about trade-down scenarios that would also have the Browns dealing with a quarterback in the first round.
Well, I think this draft has a lot of high risk at the top and a lot of high reward at the top. But the one thing I don't think any of us could argue about this draft is it has a lot of depth in that second, third, fourth, fifth round of the draft. There's a lot of depth there. So the trading down scenario definitely doesn't surprise me. The only thing that I think is definitely off the board for the Cleveland Browns is there won't be a running back taken in the first round.
Okay, I'll go along with that. That's about as safe and as far out on a limb as I'll go as well.
But Bernie, you know, on the quarterback
spot.
On the quarterback spot, there's been so many rumors with it. You know, there's so many of these mock drafts have quarterbacks going way early. Some have no quarterbacks going in the top 10, 11, 12, 13 picks of the first round. I tend to think somebody's going to want a quarterback that they found somebody they really like, they want to grow with. But who's to say with that? Because with the new system that's coming in and the type of depth we have, there's, again, a lot of flexibility. And how, you know, Brandon Wheaton had his first chance to make a big impression last weekend with the new staff and intellectually, academically, and then most importantly, physically.
Your operative phrase there, grow with, want to grow with, is what I think is the applicable point about quarterbacks in this draft. I think it's more about guys that are going to develop and that aren't going to see the field soon at all. Bernie, thank you. Great. And we're going to do this again during the course of the week, especially when I get to New York and we start doing our draft coverage from there.
You'll be seeing more of me than you care to all week.
He is Bernie Kosar, the one and only, joining us here via the Revel Wireless Hotline on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. More coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.